We're backstage at Bonnaroo. I'm Alisa Ali, talking with the British Funk Soul Collective. Is that a good way of describing you? Jungle?
Yeah, if you want.
Is that all right?
Yeah, it's cool.
How would you describe yourself?
The British Soul Funk Collective.
6 foot one. London. Shaved head.
Hot, sexy.
Hot. With the hot and sexy J&T from Jungle. These guys are here at Bonnaroo because they're going to be doing a late night set, but I grabbed them for a little pre-game session. Thank you guys so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Welcome to Bonnaroo. This is your first time here, right?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, but you're no stranger to festivals. You've done a ton of festivals. I know you've done like the main ones, Glastonbury, Reading, Leeds. Is there a difference between British festivals and American festivals,
oh,
you
yeah,
reckon?
Definitely.
Yeah, you don't need to pack your Wellington boots for American festivals normally. The weather's generally a lot better.
I think the attitude of the people is a little bit more loose. You know, I think everyone's up for a good time over here, and you know, everyone dances more. I think in England we can be a little bit
standoffish.
Well, a little bit scared of our expressing ourselves.
Uh-huh. Now you guys though.
Oh, sometimes, you know, it depends on the day.
No, come on. I've seen you guys express yourself through music. And so I wanted to ask you about your shows. Ever since you did that the video for Platoon and you had that awesome little girl breakdancing, I was wondering, do you get breakdancers at your shows?
We just did. We had Big Girl out at our Brixton Academy show in London.
It's very difficult to tour with a 7-year-old girl. She's, you know, she's got her own stuff going on.
School.
And she's got to get back for school, so unfortunately we can't take her around the world.
But
although
special
we'd
occasions,
love to.
Special occasions.
Right, right. Are you guys breakdancers?
Oh yeah, fundamentally.
You break more breakdancers of words.
I break dance.
Check my.
There's a general thing. I just break it.
I see.
For everybody.
You shake it, and you also break it. Is that what you're telling
me? It's just broken. I've broken it.
Okay. So the band started off with just you two fellas, but then you had to expand it for your live show. What was the first moment you realized, oh boy, we got to get some more people in here?
When we couldn't play any of the instruments. I think it was the idea that we didn't want to go out and do it on laptops, and we didn't want to go out and try and do it with samplers. I think it always feels a little bit like underwhelming when there's drums happening especially in a live environment, and they're not really coming from someone playing drums. I suppose I don't know, especially if you're on stage, it feels a bit like
I think also we just wanted to like share that experience a little bit with other people and our friends, and
yeah,
being on the road with 7 people is just inherently more fun than being on the road with 2 people.
It's got to be a lot more challenging too though, right?
Yeah, but that's why you do it. You want to hit the easy option.
I think we sort of got to the place now after sort of playing for a year and a half where everybody's really relaxed in what they play, and we sort of learned it, and now everyone's just taking it to a new level and everything's different every night. So if you play it off a computer or play it off a sample pad, it's always going to be the same. It's never going to change. Yet when you know you play it with a live drummer and live percussions and live vocals, it's never the same because it's always live. So you know, people can experiment and improvise.
Are there any particular songs that have drastically changed since you
first? I think
first
all of them have like really changed. You sort of notice it when you occasionally hear records from the album. You go, oh, but that's not what the live version sounded like. And the live version is a lot more energetic and a lot more aggressive, possibly. And you know, the record's kind of subdued in a weird way.
It's not subdued.
Well,
I'm going to disagree with you there, buddies.
Frequency range. There's a lot more treble and a lot more bass live.
Yeah, I think naturally the songs just grow a little bit more every day we play them, and that's a really cool thing to see.
I think it's because obviously, as I said before, a lot of the drums were sort of programmed and played in, and when they're played live, you know, that's a live drum kit. We didn't actually record the record with a live drum kit. So I think instantly then you've got a much more of a open sound on a real kit.
So now that you've got this band, so for album number 2, you going to go in there with the full band, or are you still going to do the laptop treatment and then change it up for the live performance?
Well, I think it's going to be a bit of both. I think we don't like to put, you know, squares or walls around any ideas. You know, if a real drum kit works on the record, then it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We sort of go by the mantra. Does it sound good? And if it sounds good, we go with it. The method is sort of irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. And what about your music making? Do you take the show on the road, or are you like real like homeboys about this, where you only are going to make music in your home studio?
It's a little bit of both, I think. Obviously, to finish things and to properly produce a track, you've got to be in a studio, and we really enjoy that process. That's something that we love doing, and that's how Jungle started for us, is being in the studio together.
I think there's a lot of safety by doing that, and you can tweak things, and studio's for perfection, and live is for sort of experimentation and improvisation.
But we're like, yeah. we've always got laptops open on the road, and there are ideas that, you know, ideas happen but wherever you are with whatever you've got.
Just having a laptop open is not enough, really, because we like to record a lot of, basically everything's recorded. It's not really programmed that much. It's sort of recorded and then chopped up, and you can't really record a load of stuff while you're on the move on a train or something.
Mm-hmm. It's more for like taking notes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a notebook.
The woman next door would be a bit annoyed if you got a keyboard out and she's trying to have her tuna sandwich, and you know, you're trying to play chords and she's trying to eat food.
That is true. So I read that one of you, I'm not sure which one it was influenced by your big brother introducing you to Parliament. Is that right? Which one?
Well, my brother. Like,
my brother, so it's definitely not me.
But when I was, it's not necessarily a direct influence, because my older brother's like 3 years older than me, so when I was growing up, everything that he loved I would just like inherently dislike because that's how brothers work. And so he was like, you've got to listen to like Parliament, and I was like, what is this? And then for like 7 years I just like shelved that CD, and then was going through like my back catalogue like a couple of years ago and just fished all the stuff out that he'd given me again, and I sent him a nice email saying thanks for that. <He's> I was very unappreciative at the time, but now I, you know. Yeah, but he's like, it's interesting when it's like us two, we kind of grew up sharing music together and sharing tastes and sharing likes and dislikes. And I think that's what bonds you over things. Music is like a really like good thing to bond people.
What was the first song that you bonded over?
Potentially like.
It depends if recently or a long time ago. You're asking us to think back.
When we were
years.
Like 12, probably, yeah. Like Incubus, maybe. If you're going back that far.
I mean, it's got to be some. I mean, we could be all day, to be honest. It was some music that had sound.
I think, like, what? I think actually, like, J. Paul
recently.
Yeah, recently. J. Paul was something that we both really liked.
Like, back in the day, would be like Jest and Task Force, Cosmic Gypsies, which is a track by Task Force, Jest, and Brain Tax, which is probably would have never have ever got over here because it's sort of UK hip hop and it never really left Huddersfield. But, that was a track which sort of made us like
just made us like stop and think about it, and
I don't know, it's a really hard question. can we go to the next one?
Yeah, well, actually, speaking of hip hop, I'd read an interview where you were talking about the making of this full-length album, and you had this weird idea that it was going to be kind of a hip-hop record, but it didn't really turn out that
way. I suppose,
way.
You know, we're not hip-hop at all, but like we love hip-hop and we love the sound of it, and that's what we sort of go on. And obviously we can't make a hip-hop record, we don't have that background, and but the sound of it and the way that it's cut and the way that things are taken from loops, yeah. And you know, that's what fascinated us. If you look at Dilla, for example, just taking great samples and things like that, but we wanted to try and do that without having to, you know, go to Curtis Mayfield to write that idea. So we ended up writing a load of tracks and then cutting them and making cuts from the tracks. So all the songs that we've got are, you know, they've all got other versions, which are longer, sort of weirder versions of the songs, which we've also just taken like little loops from and then made
and
loops
and into something
put
new.
Them on MPCs and almost tried to sample ourselves. And I think that it's that feeling of things getting cut off and things almost being played on pads that makes it, you know,
feel like it's hip hop. Yeah.
Yeah. But we're not trying to be rappers.
No. No. So what's the progress report on new material?
It's good. I mean, we're just obviously like writing a lot at the moment, and you know, we've obviously got a busy summer, which, you know, means you're all over the place at the same time, which means you can't quite finish anything properly. So, you know, we'll probably kind of start working on new material. We, you know, being able to play the festivals opens a lot of doors with other artists as well. So, you know, we're always talking to new people and playing with other people that, you know, you don't have that opportunity to do when you're just starting out, because you've not met them, you know, and you can't just send someone an email going, can you work with me, listen to my demos. You have to sort of meet people, and that's how collaborations happen.
Mm-hmm. Have you met anyone that there's a possible collaboration with?
Well, we met loads of cool people. Whether anything kind of like comes from that is another story.
I love that. Whenever that question gets asked, your mind just goes, divert. Because with collaborations, you know, you do work on stuff with people, but you tend not to try and tell everyone about it before it's out. Because if it doesn't actually come out, it's like you sound a bit stupid if you're banging on about how you've had this amazing collaboration with someone and then it never happens. And, or, you know, so.
All right.
When it's out, then it will happen.
All right, no pressure. As for the Bonnaroo lineup, anybody that you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, I'd love to see Matt DeMarco again, but he's playing at the same time as us.
Glass Animals, good friends of us from the UK.
But then also, like, tomorrow, the lineup tomorrow is great, but we're off to St. Louis, unfortunately.
Yes, yeah, it's a cool lineup. It's a shame that we're not here for the whole weekend.
Yeah. All right, well, you'll have to come back again next year.
Yes, we will.
All right. Jungle, thank you so much for hanging with us here backstage at Bonnaroo.
Thank you.
Sweet.